We're going to start off today with our good friend, psychologically speaking, with Dr. John Braccio. Dr. John B., welcome.
Good morning to you, Dave.
Good morning to you. You know, there's something afoot out there. You know, we hear a lot about the differences between the genders when it comes to educational attainment, opportunities provided. Let's say one of the big issues has always been science, technology, and all the STEM, mathematics, with between boys and girls. We don't hear much, though, about things like ADD or, in fact, ADHD between the two. And you've put forward that you think that this has been historically underdiagnosed in young women and only starting to come around now when an entire generation may be, in effect, lost. Is there something to this?
Well, if we look back, I'd say that there have been times where 10 times as many persons were identified that were men versus women, okay? And part of it is ADHD, which really has three parts to it. It's only one, you know, it's one technical definition, but it has the predominantly inattentive, the predominantly hyperactive and impulsive and combined. And because boys tend over time to be more active, we've had far more of the hyper and the impulsive diagnosed. This would be the same for boys, too. But with girls, over time, it's been a different kind of a thing. And also, if we can generalize, that anger, okay, if a person's having trouble with focus and inattention or hyperactive, call it what you will, in boys, this often leads to anger, and often this has led to girls to have depression, anxiety, okay? So as a result, often there have been many women over time that have been diagnosed with anxiety and depression, and maybe not that those conditions may be there, but the cause may actually be the lack of focus and attention, feeling spaced out, can't keep track of things, putting piles in different places. And I'm not really trying to stereotype here. This is just kind of information coming out more and more, and we see this in our at a local level or personal level. We do more and more female adults and teenage ADHD evaluations than we did, say, 10, 20 years ago. And boys still are getting diagnosed and being evaluated, but there are more and more girls that, with parents or school districts or employers, that they're beginning to recognize that they have some of these same characteristics. Not that everyone gets diagnosed with ADHD, because it needs to be something over a period of time. 6 months, it needs to be something that impacts in more than one area of your life.
Well, let's now take it the next step further, which is you've had a long time to look at these boys, look at those who are your own patients, look at those who are in research studies, and I know you follow very closely, versus young women. How do women respond to treatment as they're older? And is there a big difference if they were treated earlier for ADHD versus those who get a later diagnosis?
Well, it's always hard to do after the fact, okay? Mm-hmm. I think the thing you run into, often we will have a woman call who's having some issues, could be at work, could be at home, could be in both, and someone has said to them, you know, you really ought to take a look at this. I mean, there's something going on here, okay, in addition to whatever, okay, that this lack of focus, this lack of inattention, this fact you're losing things, the fact, call it whatever it might be, you seem a little spaced out, call it what you will. And what we find is if the person is evaluated, they often will come to us in total frustration of what's happening in their life. We then, with a diagnosis, with a full evaluation, which really is a comprehensive because you have to look at the whole person. This is a behavioral diagnosis. It's not something, it's not just a paper-pencil kind of a thing, because you need a lot of information to come up with the diagnosis. But once the person is diagnosed, and there can be various remedies, okay, one we always think of are medications, okay? That's one thing that can be helpful, you know, to a person. We tend to think of Ritalin. We tend to think of Adderall, Strattera, which would be not a stimulant, but that would be another medication used. But also there can be counseling. There can be ideas. there can be strategies on what to do, like where to keep your keys, where to keep, your phone, trying to actually have a person focus more effectively on dealing with the problems they may have, rather than just thinking, my goodness, I'm a dummy, and then become depressed, become anxious, start having problems with relationships. So it's not that women don't have these issues. It's just that traditionally males have been the ones that have been perceived to have the problems, and often because they tend to act out more. And anger, rightly or wrongly, is more of a male response versus the depression and anxiety, the introspection the women often have. We often will focus more on the anxiety and depression of the woman and more on the anger and the hyperactivity of the boy. So definitely there are changes. Now you're looking at diagnosis rates of maybe 4-to-1, 2-to-1, really getting closer in terms of what is being
found. Well, that's
found.
A dramatic difference. That is dramatic, though. From 10...
Well, it really is dramatic. It really is. And we see it ourselves. Because I thought about this having been around for a long time. This used to be seen more as a boy problem, beginning younger,
Okay,
identified early. And then the belief was that people grew out of it. Well, some do, but 65-70% don't. This can be a lifelong problem. And then another one of the stereotypes is, well, everybody needs medication. Well, that's not true. I mean, there are many persons that it can be helped, but also just identifying it, coming up with strategies, altering your life, just making yourself more efficient, if you will, can also be every bit as helpful, if not both together.
And Doc, I think it's a positive, and we've known other parents too, who not just it used to be just accepted. Well, you got to go on medication. You mentioned a number of the key ones there, and now parents will and guardians will ask more questions about that. And I think that's good overall to have that. And doctors like yourself and others will put forward some alternatives, so that isn't the only possibility, and that seems like a positive. Seems like progress.
That really is progress, and that has been a progress across the way, because really traditionally people have just said, oh, he needs medication. Now
right.
I think we're getting much more sophisticated than that, unfortunately, and also appropriately that diagnosing women that have the problem as much as men.
DrJohnB.com is the website. You'll find the podcast there, of course, all the podcasts here of our visits, Psychologically Speaking with our good friend, Dr. John Braccio here, who brings a wealth of experience and knowledge and always good stuff to the program here. We appreciate you joining us once again, my friend, and look forward to our next conversation.
Same here, Dave. Nice talking to you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care. More ahead on the Morning Wake Up. We're going to be discussing the Supreme Court and a decision that's come down, another one that will be pending as arguments are underway, with Molly K. Hooper of The Hill. That's next, 1320 WILS.